Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates coming at you. It is March Madness full force. Today is a day. It should be a national holiday. Really? Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm with you.
I mean, why would anybody do any work?
This should be for the next, what is today, Thursday? So every Thursday and Friday during tournament time, especially, I'm just talking about the day of, the beginning of the tournament, it should be off for every worker.
Amen.
I would vote for that. I even think that, like, our Congress, which disagrees on a lot of things, they might agree on that.
Yeah, they just might agree on that. They don't agree on much, but they may agree on that because all of them got a stake in it.
I think three solid holidays here. Super Bowl, the day after Super Bowl, take that as a holiday.
Yeah.
March Madness, these 2 days as a holiday, and opening day.
There we go.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good trio there.
I like that. Let's petition to make that make those a laws.
Okay.
You know, law of the
realm. Notarized, right? Something
yeah. Like
and in the meantime, this is what we need to do. This is a tradition that I think stretches back for a lot of people. I would love for somebody to call or text our lines here, 615-737-1025. I would love for somebody to call in and say, this is my scheme today on how I'm going to get out of work.
It's today that day.
You can be anonymous. You can call in as anonymous if you want. Or use an alias if you like.
You can do it. Hey,
and just tell us either if you're doing this today or tomorrow, if you're going to sneak out, maybe you're just saying, I got an extended business thing or lunch. I'm going to be out a while.
Mm-hmm. Or let us hear your best sick voice. That's got to get you out of work today.
If you're going to feign an illness.
Yes. Let us hear your best sick voice.
Yes. Like Ferris Bueller did, you know, and that's a famous one where he duped the parents, right?
Absolutely.
He had to give the sick voice.
Yeah.
So if you're doing this, I'd love to hear from you. This is a tradition that goes back. Like, you've got to have your methods. You've got to watch these games.
Because just think about this. I can remember when I was younger. I'm still young, but when I was much younger, like in high school, like, we didn't get any work done. I'm just thinking about it, Willie.
There's no way.
We didn't get any work done on the first day of March Madness. Like, that Thursday, didn't nobody go to class?
No way.
The teachers had on the, some teachers had on the game in their rooms. You know, you go to the gym room, definitely the gym teacher and the coaches have the game on. I mean, nobody got anything done. Then you go into the lunchroom, all the televisions are on with the game on. So, I mean, why not continue that?
So, you know? Call or text 615-737-1025 and just let us know. And don't you use your real name. We don't want to get anybody
in
trouble here.
In trouble.
But let us know if you're doing this, how you're doing this. Because maybe, you know, we're sharing notes. Maybe there's advice you could give to some listeners here of how to pull this off and not get in trouble with the boss.
What, like, if the boss?
Your parties are playing right now. I'm surprised you're here, D-Man.
What if the boss does it?
The boss is probably doing it. Yeah. That works in your favor, too.
Exactly.
Because he can't get you when you know he might show up at the same sports bar as you.
Exactly. He or she. You may walk in and they sitting at the bar.
Okay. So,
with about eight brackets in front of them.
Okay, so here's anonymous text. I take two vacation days on the Thursday and Friday that the tourney opens and have for 10-plus years now. Hmm. Well, that's one way to do it above board is just take the vacation.
That's
Caroline's doing that.
Yeah.
Is this Caroline texting? That's not her number. Was that her scheme all the way along? She just wanted to have the days off for Thursday,
Friday? She's watching the games. I get it. I'm all for it.
Okay. So that's above board. I want to hear some sneakiness, though. I mean, everybody's doing that, right? Mm-hmm. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, that's the way.
I'd love to hear this. So do we have some calls here, Nick?
We do. We have one guy. He said he'd change his name just for the sake of this.
Okay.
But we'll go to the first one.
Is his name? Who is that? Big Dog?
Big Dog.
Okay.
Oh, the Big Dog is calling. All right. Big Dog, what is your method here? What's your advice? What's your plan?
All right. So you just become a teacher, right?
Yeah.
Is close to these days, right? I mean, you're going to get off work. You get to go wherever. You got the week off. And if it's the days before spring break, nobody's doing anything anyway. So you just give them some some worksheets and you turn the games on and you say, if you talk during any point of this and you get the administration called to my room, then you're all writing 25-page essays.
I think the kids would be for that one.
Yeah.
I think they would love that.
And now it's the technology is such, you just pull it up on the laptop. You can have the game on with the worksheet.
Yeah,
no
and
words.
Multiple, like 100 multiple choices. Y'all got the hour to finish.
I shared a story earlier with Chase and McGill, and I was saying, you know, during math class, I always do algebra class every year. Mm-hmm. I would connect to my phone for the hotspot because the high school I went to, they wouldn't allow you to watch TV on your computer. I was like, oh, I got to find a way around this. So I connect to the hotspot on my phone, and my teacher comes around. She's looking. I pop up the Excel sheet. Uh-huh. Nothing's going on. I pop it back down. Five of my buddies behind me are watching the games.
Did y'all get work done?
I mean, come on.
Of course not.
No. But I connected to the school Wi-Fi, so
there
I wouldn't
we go.
Run out of my hotspot. So, yeah.
All right. So I love when the teacher's in on this. This is good. But because this is makes it even easier now because you can do that. Did you ever pull that? So you pulled the stunt. You had the button ready to cover the screen with the game and put something that looks like you're doing work on there.
Absolutely. It was a foolproof system. It was a Windows computer. You know, if you go on the bottom right corner of a Windows computer, you like right click, it'll show the home page, your home screen. Well, I had a little like notepad of like the grid of what we were working on and the home screen. So that was the only thing that would show up. So she would walk around and she was like, whoa, you're doing a lot of work today. Yeah, I would just, I was kind of a sneaky person about it, but I'd highlight certain problems so it made it look like I was doing extra stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
The worksheet. You had it mapped out. I
love
like
the idea of the worksheet, though, because then you got a paper on there. Exactly. If any of the principal or the
everybody
superintendent comes in, we're working. Yeah. Look at these worksheets.
Or, listen, if you are in a statistics or probability class, which I hate it.
Oh, man.
I hated it when it first came out.
I'm getting cold sweats goodness. Just bringing that up.
Well, actually, you can watch the game, and we can do stats, and, you know.
That's right.
Hey, there's ways of getting around this.
KenPom?
Exactly. KenPom. Yeah. There we go. Speaking of KenPom, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, Izzo and his comments, you know, today on The Athletic.
We are going to hit that. Michigan State is the first game going on, and it's going to tip off here in about 5 minutes. We'll be updating that. We'll watch D-Mace's mood. Last year, Michigan State was in an exciting game while we were on the air. That was fun, and they pulled it off. But what is March?
Madness. It's Izzo time.
It's Izzo time.
It's Izzo month. Yeah.
Spoken like a true
January, February, Izzo. You know, May, June, and July. That's how we
go. All right. Have we got another anonymous caller here?
Yes, we do. Well, the second one is a no, but the third one on the list is a yes.
Okay, I'm only seeing that we have callers. I can't see the names. You got
sorry about that. I'll get it for you. Jack is next.
I thought this was so. Jack, if that is your real name,
if that is your real
Jack,
name,
what's your
Jack.
Method? What's your March Madness method here to watch the games?
Well, where I work, you can accrue personal days by perfect attendance.
Hmm.
Well, I'm always there, so I got a stack of them stuck back. And a boss that knows I'm pretty much always going to be there. And if I do want to bug out once in a while, he's cool with it. So it's simple. I'd call in this morning and say, I'm going to take a personal day today because I've got eye trouble. Really? Eye trouble? I said, yeah, I can't see me coming in there today. See you tomorrow.
I like that one.
We had a texter thinking the same thing, Jack. He said, you can always tell the boss you have gluteal glaucoma.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can use that because you can't see yourself going to work today.
Yeah, I feel that. I'm going to use that on Chase one day.
So if you want to sound like really important, gluteal glaucoma is what you can use.
I'm saying, Sue, I got gluteal glaucoma, okay?
I thought the glute was in like the rear part of your body.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
What in the world?
The gluteus maximus. Yeah, I thought that.
There we go.
If your eyeball's got some glutes on it, you got a problem.
Yeah, you got a big problem.
Chuck says, texts in, says, start your own company.
There
you're the
you
boss.
Go.
Yeah, then you
absolutely
can go watch whatever you want. Okay, what else? Let's go to Mike on line two here. Mike, welcome in. This is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's your method here to watch the games?
Hey, guys. So I actually have legitimate full-blown excuses here. So nothing. I can be upfront, honest, and not concerned about it. So today, as a catering driver, I was blessed with the schedule of having deliveries all afternoon. So essentially, I'm going to be on the road or in my car driving throughout the first two games. So my entire shift or whatever, where normally I would not be able to sit in front of a TV or listen to the radio, I have the ability to be able to turn on the radio and be able to do that. But because the way that the schedule just kind of fell itself through, I was able to talk my way into calling somebody else in and then sending myself home early when I get back from everything else because of my son's birthday. It is my son's birthday today. He's turning five, but everything's already done, and everything that we need to get done. So I'm going to get out of here about 2 hours early and catch the game with the excuse of my son's birthday. So
okay, so you really have to scheme that, but you got this plan.
No,
this
is good. Again, fate kind of just fell on my plate like this. Now tomorrow's going to be a whole different kind of plan. I might have to work on like too much cake or something.
Okay, well maybe somebody will give you some tips here today in the next few minutes. Here, we'll go.
I'm
going
to probably just eat too much cake and then just try to go with that excuse.
Okay, I like that because you'd be sick.
Because it's legit.
Yeah.
Michigan State and Mississippi State will be the first game. Mm-hmm. The next one at 11:40, Duquesne, who made a great run to win the tournament in the AT, they would not have made it otherwise. They're playing BYU. So that's an interesting matchup at 11:40. And then at 12:30, Akron out of the MAC taking on Creighton. And this is in UT's bracket. Mm-hmm. So Creighton is the 3 seed where Tennessee is the 2. So that's one I think the Vol fans will keep their eye on at 12:30. And then at 1 o'clock, it'll be Long Beach State, Arizona. And, of course, after that, Michigan State, Mississippi State, they'll play the winner of Wagner, North Carolina. So that's the game that follows the Michigan State, Mississippi State game. So we'll keep an eye on all those games while we're on the air today. All right, let's look at a couple other texts here. Let's see. Michael in Madison. My math teacher in high school would schedule the probability sections of the course around March Madness so we could multitask. Multitask. We filled out our brackets in his class, and then we watched the games during the period. That sounds like very high-level math there.
Yeah, probability. But you can do it. Yeah, it's probability.
Yeah.
What's the probability of your team, which is a 15th seed, winning today's game? So the whole class can do it.
A good tip here on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The best, quote, sick voice is just texting your boss because you don't have to fake the cough or the sniffle. You just, sometimes you get a text and you're like, what's the mood? What is he sad? Is he mad? Is he happy?
What's going on?
That works in your favor in this, right?
I would be the boss.
I'm sick.
I would be the boss that I would pick up the phone. As soon as they text me, I call them like, you sick?
Get on FaceTime. Let me see.
Exactly. Let me FaceTime. See if you're really sick. I play the nachos in front of you.
All right, let's check in with Sherry and get her method here. Sherry, what's your game plan here these next couple of days?
Actually, this happened years ago, and I don't work there anymore, so I don't mind sharing. our boss was known as the office where paperwork went to die because it got lost. So one day I was headed into work, and I'm like, I really don't feel like doing this today. So I turned around, went home, and waited for her to call me to ask me where I was. And I said, oh, no, you gave me the day off. Remember, I submitted the paperwork for it. And she's like, oh, okay, well, Have a good day. I can't believe it worked.
Just gotta float it out there and see if it flies.
It's all about.
I submitted the time off request. You approved it.
Yeah, it's like listen. I did my job. I did my part. You know, but you gotta sound like, you know, it has to be with confidence.
Yeah.
It can't be any hesitation or stuttering. It just has to be, hey, I filled out the paper.
You approved it. Yeah, don't you remember?
It. You know, I didn't even think about coming in today. I knew I had the day off. Oh, you did? Okay. Well, enjoy.
So it was all in the smoothness of the delivery.
Yeah, it's all in the smoothness, man.
Okay. We have an anonymous boss that has texted in. With the addition of team meetings now, I scheduled a 4-hour meeting for my employees to block their calendars while we catch the games until quitting time.
I love it. I love it.
Quote, 4-hour meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. That's about right. That's about the block you need.
It's going to be catered.
There will be refreshments.
Exactly. My Spartans are about to tip it off right now.
Yeah.
against those Bulldogs of Mississippi State.
Best of luck, Derek.
So SEC, be prepared to take a L.
I took the Spartans in this game.
Yeah,
I took the Spartans in this game, and I feel like
those are some ugly uniforms Mississippi State has.
The grays?
Yeah, you like the grays?
They're alternates. They're all right. The solid black ones are nice.
Well, I'm just not used to them wearing the grays.
I'm finding everything bad about Mississippi State right now. Don't worry about it.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm just going to find everything bad about them.
All right. That sounds fun.
As they play my Spartans. Yeah. So, first shot up. Yes, they missed their first shot. Let's go, Spartans. We're winning now because they missed their first shot. We're winning.
I would say Derek is going to be a little distracted during the show here for the next couple hours. Let's see. Here's one from a texter saying his kid's running a 100-degree temperature.
Ooh.
Going to have to stay home with him today. Ooh. Like, who's going to call you out on that? Like, are they going to say, let me see.
Yeah.
Show me the thermometer.
Show it.
Give me the doctor's note.
But see, I'm leery about putting things on my kids. Like, sickness, I'm kind of leery about that.
That's gutsy.
Like,
that's stooping a little bit. But, hey.
Yeah, but you got to do what you got to do.
You got to see the games.
Hey, the kids got to take one for you. So be it.
All right. So you said you were going to fill out two brackets, one with your heart.
Bam. Hit down the three.
Sparty
Boom.
Hit the first three of the game.
Sparty hit the first three. Let's go.
You said you were going to fill out one with your heart, one with your head.
Yes. The one for the station I filled out with my heart because I got the Spartans going, I think, to the Elite Eight. So I filled that one out.
Okay.
That was my heart.
I filled all of them out last night. By the way, after Vanderbilt's women got the win last night against Columbia.
Congratulations to them.
Grinded it out. They were the better team. They led throughout. Columbia kept pushing. It was a good game, but a good win for the program. And it's a young team that Shea Ralph has. I think they're going to be better next year, but it's great to get them back in the tournament. That was big last night. That was – I would hate it. I wouldn't have – nothing against Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And Columbia had a good team. Columbia was an at-large bid to get in from the Ivy League, and that's a credit to them. That's how good they were. But I think you really feel like you need to win that game if you're Vanderbilt. And they were the better team. You could tell early on, more size, a little more athleticism. Columbia was scrappy and skilled. But I would have hated to bow out if you're Shea Ralph in that game. Now they play Baylor, which we know the tradition of Baylor. That's a really, really good program. So we'll see what happens in that one, but a good win for them. So I filled my brackets out after that game was over, and I could also watch another snoozer, by the way, at the end of that game. Boise State against Colorado, oof, that was a tough watch. That was not great basketball. The score is like 49-46 with 4 minutes.
You actually
like, come
watched
on.
It, Willie?
What's that?
You actually watched it?
I watched the last 6-7 minutes of it after the Vanderbilt women's game was over. I was flipping back and forth.
Bless your heart, Willie. Bless your heart.
I was trying to scout. I got to do my brackets.
He pulled out the bless your heart.
Another part of it, too. Gene Serator, I was like, you got to pace yourself, Gene. We got a whole tournament where you got to do this. They went to the review on three consecutive plays in the final minute of the game. It's like, can we please get the game moving? That is the one thing I don't like about how the tournament flows now.
Mm-hmm.
They spread the games out more, so there's not like that high that you used to feel when they had like three or four games going on at one time. They spread them out. They stagger them more. But also, the TV timeouts are so long, the game can lose the rhythm a lot. Then on top of that, if you get a couple of reviews, it can be excruciating to watch the last couple. The last minute of the game took way, way too long last night. It was really, it was like a 3 or 4 point spread. It didn't,
but that's basketball, whether it be
I know.
College basketball.
The NBA is like that too.
The last minute of the game, and when you're down 6-8 points, I mean, it's the longest minute ever. It ends up being, in real time, like 15-20 minutes before the game's even in. And we're talking about a minute left on the clock, so.
Yeah, I mean, when I went out to Las Vegas to see the rugby event and all these Australian people, because I was asking questions about, the rugby and all the above, they were asking questions about American sports and football, basketball, and like, why are there so many commercials? I was like, there's a lot of money into this, man. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. And he goes, it's just too long. That's why I like rugby. It's 80 minutes of nonstop, no commercial. I was like, hey, good for you. I mean, it's more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, D-Mace mentioned this. We're going to take our first break. Michigan State leading Mississippi State 5-4. We'll have all kinds of school board updates.
8-4 now.
We'll make it 8-4. Nice hit out of the corner
Hoger
there.
Hit another three.
We're going to talk about, do we want to see this tournament be expanded? We've talked a lot about the college football playoff, the football playoff being expanded. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of momentum, it seems like, of the basketball tournament being expanded. Mm-hmm. Do we want to see that, or do we want to keep it to 68? We're gonna discuss, because some of the coaches, Tom Izzo, one of them, John Calipari, one of them, Greg Sankey has weighed in on this, mm-hmm. of their opinions on what they want to see and what they don't want to see. So we're going to come back and discuss that in a little bit. And we'd love to hear from you on the text line if you're out and about. 615-737-1025. Do you want to see the field of 68 expand to like 80? What do you think? Yes or no? That's the question we're throwing out there. You can call us as well. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more as we get cranking on this March Madness Day. So much going on in March Madness. Tournament's underway. The main bracket, we're down to the field of 64 now. Michigan State leading Mississippi State 10-4, 5 minutes in. The Predators are in action tonight. They're in Florida. Nashville 13-0-2 in the last 15. They have been tearing it up, and they're trying to go for a new franchise record tonight, mm-hmm. for consecutive games with at least 1 point. But to do it, they're going to have to win against a very, very tough team. Perhaps the best team in the East, one of the five best teams in hockey, the Florida Panthers.
Aren't they on the road too?
They have been on a long roll. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've actually lost the last two. But if you look at the last like 25 or 30 games, they've just been
dominant.
Really, really dominant for sure. So this will be a great test for them tonight. It looks like Kevin Lankinen is going to get the start.
Okay.
Interesting move there. But that's kind of what they do with Lankinen. They throw him into the fire against the tough teams on the road, and he's played very well in those games. But he won there last year, Lankinen did. So it really doesn't surprise me that they're going with Lankinen. So we'll have reports on that game a little later. You can hear that game on tonight. The reason you're hearing me is, and I'm not coming at you from Florida, is it's ESPN Plus tonight. But, of course, we've always got the game here on 102.5 The Game with Pete and Hal. Max Hurst is down there in South Florida tonight. So we'll maybe even check in with him later today. But I want to get into this story. Tom Izzo, who is obviously coaching his team right now, mm-hmm. he's got some opinions on where the tournament is going. There's a lot of momentum now to expand the field to 80 teams. And one of the arguments is because there have been since, I think this field was expanded to 64, which was in the 80s mm-hmm. at some point. They moved to 64. Some of the younger listeners are going, it hasn't always been 64? Actually, it was, you know, when UCLA was winning all those tournaments in the 60s and the 70s, the field was like 24, and then it went to 32, then it went to 48. So it was not 64 until...
When did they change that?
It was mid-80s. I want to say maybe 85 or 86, maybe 83, somewhere in there. I don't remember. Maybe Nick can look that up real quick. But since then, since they made it 64, the number of Division I teams... Mm-hmm. has grown considerably, right? There's now 300, and I'll look at the number, but there's 360 teams uh-huh. in the Division I now. So the argument is because there's way more Division I teams, should there be more slots in the tournament? There's 362 to be exact. And if you're wondering, number 362 this year, Mississippi Valley State. So sorry, Jerry Rice.
Dang it.
They were 1-30
on the year. 1985, by the way.
85 was the first year. Okay.
It went from 53 to 64.
The year that Villanova beat Georgetown. That was 85. Mm,
yeah, it was. I remember that.
So that was the first time they had 64. I didn't realize that. I thought there was maybe 64 right before that, but no, 53. Okay. So, number one, do we think this is a good idea? Or number two, do we think they're just selling out for money here? Because I'm always worried that they will get more money and we'll watch the games if they go to 80. But I'm with John Calipari. Mm-hmm. I think I would stick to my guns and stick with 68. Where it really means something to make it. And you're also, in the same time, you're strengthening the NIT, right? You would really be, it's already something that's just only probably for the teams in it, right? And, of course, I'm always biased at defending of the NIT because I played on a team that won the NIT. It was a great experience. And sometimes I think people don't realize how good the 32 teams are that are in the NIT. It's not nothing to make the NIT, especially when you have 362 Division I teams. It's harder to make the NIT than you think. But if you went to 80 and that just bumps down the teams that make the NIT, you're making the NIT even more insignificant. So I like that it's hard to make the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to stick with that. That's where I'm coming from.
So you don't want to add more slots. That's what you're saying. You don't want to add more slots. You wouldn't agree to add more slots, Willie.
I would not. I would stick to 68.
68. I mean, I like the fact of, like you said, it being hard to get in, you know, which means the season means something to every team moving forward. That, you know, if you expand the field, then, you know, yeah, there will be more teams in, but it seems like maybe the play dips just a little bit. But we understand why they're doing it. Has nothing. I don't think it, you know, when you start adding more slots, I don't think it has anything to do with the mid-major colleges or the smaller colleges. I think it has everything to do with the major colleges, the conference, the SEC, the, you know, Big Ten. Let's just say those two conferences, really, because those are the two dominant conferences. It gets more of their teams in. And I just think, and I've mentioned this to you, and you know how I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, when they're planning their conference tournaments, because we understand conference tournaments are real, they don't mean anything. I mean, to me at least, I don't think they mean anything. But when you have let's just say the SEC for now, you have say UT. What is the, you know, what would be, you know, for Tennessee to win the SEC, what does that do for them? If they won the regular season title, just outright won the regular season title, they were the best team with the best record, they won the SEC title, then you got to play in the tournament. What advantage does UT have by winning a tournament? They don't have no advantage to me, because the more you play, the tireder you get, and the more your team is susceptible to injuries before the tournament. I look at it from this standpoint. We have all these bubble teams, whether it be in the Big Ten or the SEC. And this is just my conspiracy theory kicking in right here. If I am the SEC, wouldn't I rather have my bubble team in rather than, because I know my number one seed is going to be in.
Sure.
Whoever wins the conference, the regular season conference, the first and second teams are automatically in. So whether they win the SEC tournament, you know, or get put out in the first round, it really doesn't mean anything to them in the big scheme of things because they're in. Now, it may affect where they're seated, but for the most part, they're in. Who does it affect? It affects the bubble teams. My thing is, these conferences want more of their teams in. So this is where my conspiracy starts to kick in. Well, I looked at the Kentucky game, the last game they played. It was crazy how Kentucky was not at the foul line as much as A&M?
Yep,
A&M. Now, we can say, well, A&M drove the ball to the lane a lot of times, or Kentucky's a jump shooter team. Well, yes, but Kentucky did drive the ball to the lane a lot. But they did not get the fouls called that Texas A&M got. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it like
Kentucky fans are their blood's starting to boil, D-Mace.
But if you're watching the game,
you're picking up the scab. You're picking the scab off.
But if you're watching the game, it's like, that was a foul? Well, Kentucky just did the same thing on the other end, and they didn't get a foul called for them.
Where it didn't work for Vanderbilt last year because they did not get the nod on the bubble.
And maybe last year had there been 80-some teams or whatever they wanted to get up to, Vanderbilt would have more than likely got in.
Yes.
That's why I think they want to expand it. I don't think it has anything to do with the smaller teams. It has everything to do with getting more of their teams in. They don't care about, you know, and I know Izzo said, hey, listen, I'm a small-time guy in regards to, you know, where he's come from. And he's always rooting for the smaller guy or the smaller team in a smaller conference. But you can't tell me that you wouldn't want more of your team from your conferences in the tournament rather than somebody else's conference.
I don't think there's any doubt that if it were 80 last year, Vanderbilt would have been
they would have got in
there.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that as a former player at Vanderbilt. They would have benefited from that. But that's being said, I still love that it's tough to get in.
But everybody's going this way, whether it's the NFL,
yep,
MLB, NBA. Everybody is this.
I don't think
everybody gets in.
I don't like it. I don't like that the NFL has expanded their postseason and Major League Baseball has expanded their field for postseason. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. The NBA has expanded
it. Yeah, they've expanded it.
The NHL is considering it, mm-hmm, fighting it. Gary Bettman does not want to see it. And mm-hmm, that's, I commend him for that.
Because
I
there's something to say about working hard throughout the whole season.
It means something to get in.
Exactly.
And if the playoffs are, you don't want the playoffs to drag out and where you're fatigued at the end of watching it. Mm-hmm. I would hate to watch a Final Four where like, oh, finally, the Final Four. Finally, it took so long to get it. And that's the more you go, the more that I think you would have that. You would be taking what today and tomorrow are sacred days. Mm-hmm. They're some of the most fun days of watching sports of the year. But if you went to 80, mm-hmm, you'd have a couple of days before you even got to these days. And that would take away from the special, unique time that you spend on these 2 days. So that's why I would stay at 68. I feel like, though, the momentum...
Because it's all about money. It's money.
Right. So the next question is, who should get the extra bids, right, if you're going to do that? And that's where Tom Izzo had an interesting perspective. He had been in the Big Ten for a long time, but he was once a small college coach, a Division II. And so he pointed out, and then the Athletic did it, of the 32 conference tournaments, 21 of them, mm-hmm, were won by somebody other than the one seed. As you mentioned, that's no big deal in the Big Ten or the SEC, mm-hmm, unless like the last place team wins it. Then you are probably knocking somebody off the bubble from your own league. Mm-hmm. But those smaller leagues where a team dominates the league, mm-hmm, it doesn't win the conference tournament, they're screwed. So if you went to 80, those leagues were like, all right, great. Now that team can get in. But Greg Sankey, mm-hmm, and the other commissioners of the big leagues are all, no. If we go to 80, it should be from our leagues.
Yeah.
Right? And Sankey went out and said that, and he's gotten some backlash for that. Oh, you don't appreciate the little guy and all that. So the committee would then have a lot of tough decisions to make, right? They already do, but now you've got what something like 12 more at-large bids that you'd have to delve out. Mm-hmm. And you'd really get into the mud of a 17-14 team with a tough schedule who finished 8-10, mm-hmm, in the SEC versus a dominant team that lost the conference tournament. You'd have some heavy debates. And Tom Izzo's point was not necessarily to take a side, mm-hmm, but to kind of present both sides and say, to do this, you need coaches on the committee and not administrators.
Yeah,
I think that's a good point.
You need coaches that have seen these teams, that have played against these teams. Because he also brought up, KenPom and all these other things don't take into account, okay? Yeah, they talk about, analytics don't take into account the injuries of a team and all this other stuff. Obviously, the committee does at some, they do to a point. But then what about the guys that is injured? And then when they come back, they're still working through their injury.
Yeah, or and play they talked through about a sprained ankle or something. That's not accounted for.
How do you quantify that? Yeah, how do you quantify that? How do you judge that? Or how do you compare that to a team that wasn't injured? You know? Because there are a lot of teams, as you start to go through the year, teams will get injured. Some teams, their injured players continue to play, and that does affect them. And then we look at their win-loss record and we say, well, this team didn't win this game, and this game. You know, you look at their, you know, their KenPom is bad. And but you didn't really look at what was going on with the team.
His theory is that they do lean on KenPom and the net mm-hmm. way too much as just sort of that's the deciding factor rather than look deeper, mm-hmm. have a coach's point of view. That really got to me when he said that, because I was thinking to myself the same thing last year, and I wonder if you had more coaches on that committee, mm-hmm. would that have helped Vanderbilt's case just from just the way we watched it unfold? Mm-hmm. To me, when you looked at Vanderbilt play last year at the end of the year, there was no question in my mind they were an NCAA tournament team. They deserved to be in there, and I went through a lot of documentation on several teams that I thought they had a better case then. But there were injuries in there. Obviously, Liam Robbins was one of them. There's a lot of things to factor in. But what did they not have? The analytics. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the net. And look, I'm sitting here. I am the analytics guy. I'm the guy on the show all the time. And you guys are going, well, here goes Willie with the numbers again. Here he comes with the analytics again. Can you give it a rest? I don't know what you're talking about. But that being said, I think the committee leaned too much on it.
Yeah.
On that, I think there should be a balance, a better balance of the eye test. And I think if you had former coaches on there, that would help. I think that's a good point from Izzo, and I think mm-hmm. Calipari is echoing that.
Well, I think if you're
he, by the way, also thinks you should stay at 68, Calipari.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, expanding. Listen, we all will get used to it if they expand it to, you know, 70 or 80. We will moan and gripe and everything else, but we all, just like anything else that has happened in sports, that has changed in sports, we all have gotten used to it, and we found some type of good within whatever changes they're going to be. So if they do indeed change this thing to 80, we will moan and gripe for about a year or two, and we have a situation where, you know, another team doesn't get in, even though there's 80 spots. A team doesn't get in that many believe, and then we have this conversation over again. But what we will get used to, if indeed they go to 80-some, we will get used to that. But I just think, to me, it dilutes the product. It really does. Maybe, again, this is where it's going, and it may go this way in football, that there's just going to be a tournament with the power two or the power three, whoever
yeah.
they are.
Yeah.
And then everybody else has their own tournament. It make it that way with basketball, you know, where we have the power three have our tournament, and everybody else, y'all get together and y'all have your own tournament. Because I think there's a point where you can add too much and ends up not being a good product at the end of the day.
Jeff texts in our text line, says, I'd like to see every 16 seed have a play-in. So I'm trying to do the math in my head. He said 8-16 seeds. So at every 16 seed that way would have a better chance to win in the first round. Winning a turning game is a big deal. I agree with him on that. Look, I'll live with it if they do it. They're going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, be careful what you wish for, because you're diluting these days. Mm-hmm. Just like I think the LCS in baseball, the League Championship Series, has been diluted a lot because you got all these games leading up to the LCS. Half the time you have a hard time remembering, did they beat them in the LCS or did they beat them in the Division Series? There's all these games leading up. It used to be huge when I was growing up, LCS, who's going to get to the World Series? And every game has more meaning that way. But with the more games you have, the less meaning each game has. And so I don't think they think about that. They're just like, oh, we can make more money. Let's make more money. Let's do it. I don't know. And they're justifying it by saying there's a lot more Division I teams now. I get that. It still, to me, is worth holding on to 68. On that, we'll come back. If you've got thoughts on this, do you want to see the tournament expand or no? 615-737-1025. Text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Later in the show, we're going to give away some tickets to see the Predators and the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday at Bridgestone Arena. Max Herz is going to join us later in the show for a report down in South Florida, Predators and Panthers tonight. So be listening for your chance to to win those tickets. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up in Tennessee to bet. Michigan State leads Mississippi State 20-15. 7:23 to go in the first half on the first day of the big dance. All kinds of match madness going on right now. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Studios here in Nashville, keeping your home comfortable all year round. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. The games are underway. Duquesne, the Dukes. Remember growing up, D-Mace, Norm Nixon, the point guard for the Lakers.
Oh,
he played at Duquesne
yeah.
way back.
Norm Nixon.
Of course, that was one of my upset games.
If you watch Showtime, the story of the Lakers, Norm Nixon's character is front and center in that one. Duquesne leading BYU 7-0, a touchdown against the Cougars early on, about 5 minutes in.
You know, back in the day when I was in high, and that was before high school. Well, I guess it was in high school, somewhere around that. It might have been a little bit later, a little bit earlier. Duquesne, I used to call them Duquesnes.
Duquesne?
Because that's the way it sounds. Yeah. It's like, nah, it's not that. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Now I know moving
right,
forward.
Somebody's got to tell you.
Exactly.
This is not the way it looks.
Like, I never followed this school. Yeah. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Pittsburgh, as a matter of fact. I didn't know that for a long time either. Michigan State leading Mississippi State 27-18, 3:20 to go in the first half of that one. Getting started here soon. The next one will be Akron against Creighton. That's in UT's part of the bracket, so keep an eye on that. Early on today in Major League Baseball, the Padres beat the Dodgers to split the series in Seoul, the Seoul series. Dodgers won the first game. Padres won today. Mookie Betts went 4-for-5. He had a great game. He hit a
home run. Take it to the bank, baby. Let's go. I took that last week. Mookie to get a homer.
He had a great series, too. He had a great two games. Playing shortstop now, I mean, the guy can do anything.
It's his natural position. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that or not. He's a natural infielder.
From going way back, that's for sure. But so he's got, what, 6 gold gloves as an outfielder? He went to second base last year. Now he's an even more difficult position, shortstop, and he's getting it done. Nothing the guy can't do. But the story out of Seoul is about Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two games, the interpreter that if you watched any Angel game or even watched the first game between the Dodgers and the Padres, I give you big thumbs up if you were a hardcore baseball fan enough to get up at 5 a.m. and watch this.
Mm.
And it was still on today when I got up, so I caught the last couple of innings. But you would see this interpreter in the dugout all the time with Shohei Ohtani. On the mound visits, in the dugout talking to his teammates. This guy was by his side for years. They announced yesterday that this interpreter has a serious gambling problem. And look, he tells the team after the game is over and that he's going to have to, you know, Shohei has covered these bets for me. It totals $4.5
million. Mm.
$4.5 million. Because it wasn't baseball. It was soccer, NBA, other stuff, and NFL. Okay. ESPN uncovers a couple of wire transfers for $500,000 that have Shohei Ohtani's name on it. So that's the initial story. Then ESPN gets a call from Shohei Ohtani's representatives saying, no, no. It wasn't Shohei covering the bets for this guy. This interpreter stole from Shohei.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's got everybody asking all kinds of questions. Why would this guy, very tight with Shohei, going back for years before he came over from Japan, but been with him in the States the whole time, he would steal from Shohei Ohtani without him knowing it? Like, it makes sense to me, like, D-Mace, you're my guy, man. I'm sorry. I am in a big heap of trouble. You got a lot of money. Would you bail me out? I got some gambling problems. Well, how much do you have, Willie?
$4.5 million.
What'd you say?
$4.5 million.
What?
What in the what?
I know you're good for it. Just bail me out, then it'll be okay. That is plausible to me. But they're now trying to push this story that, no, he stole from Shohei Ohtani. That is hard for me to believe.
Yeah,
right?
maybe
it happened.
That is a hard one to believe, because unless the interpreter had some type of dealings with his finances, like oversaw his finances, had the account.
Yeah.
It could have happened. But then again, if it did happen, like, wouldn't someone have noticed it? When you're dealing with that much money, there's always somebody watching somebody. And one of those people may be crooked, but somebody's watching somebody. If I can't physically, as the, you know, breadwinner or the business, because that's what Ohtani is, he's a business.
Yeah.
If me, the business, can't watch everything, then I got to have somebody watching, you know, what's going on.
Yes.
So how did he, if indeed what they're saying is correct, how did his financial people not see this?
Right.
Like, hey, Shohei, there's a large amount of money coming out of accounts, and your name is tied to it. There's a legit paper trail here. Like, somebody should have said, we can't have this.
Yeah.
We need to stop this right now.
Shohei Ohtani wouldn't be the first big
star to have people siphon money off him
without him knowing.
But usually it's the financial guy that's doing it.
Right.
Because
and
he
not
has his
the
hands
interpreter
in
guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is an interesting nuance that Stephen A. Smith really was hitting at this morning when I was watching some of the coverage of this as this was going down. So we'll have to keep an eye on this. The other part of the equation is, in California, it's not like Tennessee.
No.
You can't do the sports book bets legally. It's illegal to do that. So if it is Shohei Ohtani covering the bets, he's still going to maybe be in some hot water there. Now, the good thing is baseball is saying nothing on Shohei betting on games, betting on baseball, anything like that.
Well, that's good.
And let's hope that that's the case, because this guy has been so good for the game.
Why does California got to be so different? It's like, man.
But how about California and Texas are two states that don't have the legalized gambling?
I don't think so.
Think that those are two very different states, and I think a lot of it, but Texas, you can't do it. It's weird.
I'm just going to refer it to food. One has Whataburger, one has In-N-Out. That's the problem.
There's the problem. Nick Fraser, the wisdom of life, no question. All right, when we come back, our man Plaz is going to join us. George Plaster is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Vanderbilt basketball coaching search, but also have a little fun with the brackets.
Yes.
And see what he's got up his sleeve there. So
it's March Madness time.
It is March Madness, and we're going to tear George away from the TV for just a moment here. Stay tuned. We're coming up with hour number two next here on 102.5 The Game.